This is episode 397. Have you been told that meditation will fix all of your problems and then you tried it and pretty much nothing changed? Or you did it and you felt great during the meditation, but the shit you've got going on in your life just kind of kept happening? If that's you, then you're not alone. A lot of people have tried to heal their trauma with meditation and have gotten pretty much nowhere, other than developing some spiritual arrogance about being more woke and evolved than the rest of us. Now, because of this phenomenon of meditation not doing what many of the gurus promise, we've got Matthew Zoltan on this episode, who has spent 7 years as a monk, and he's also been running meditation retreats and trauma healing sessions for 35 years, having worked with over 30,000 clients. He's here to share with you a very controversial side of meditation and trauma healing, starting with why most meditation techniques achieve nothing, the real reason that you're struggling to heal your trauma-driven pain, and what to do instead to get into a permanent state of healing and finally free yourself from your own self-sabotage patterns and the bad habits that you've been trying to kick for years. This is quite a deep conversation, so it might need the go around twice. All right, let's get into it.
Welcome to the How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast. You've tuned in because you want to start taking your health seriously so you don't, well, get sick and die. Here we talk all things health, nutrition, and human optimization. Let's jump into it with your host and resident scientist, Maddie Lansdowne.
What's up, my healthy friends? If you're back, I'm happy about it. And if you're new, then welcome. This year, it's my mission to coach 500 people to get control of their sugar cravings and sugar binges so they can stop yo-yo dieting, stop obsessing about food, and finally create a body that they feel confident being in. The links are in the show notes or the caption below, so scroll down and click the link so that we can have a chat and you can inquire about some of our emotional binge and overeating programs. Okay, today's fantastic guest is Matthew Zoltan, originally on episodes 311 and 313 of this show. Matthew is the founder of the Undo app for emotional healing and meditation, and also the founder of Quiet Retreats for those that want deep, transformative, in-person healing meditation experiences. Both of these are things that I recommend to my clients and to you as well. Matthew, welcome back to the show. How are you, mate?
Oh, very good. Thank you. Wow, you put that together very nicely.
Thank you. Together a nice little package for you.
It did. Yeah, terrific. Yeah, I'm very happy to be back, of course.
Yeah. Oh, the first couple of episodes that we did, garnered so much attention and so many questions.
Really?
That, yeah, uh-huh. People were good. So interested in your perspective. And so was I. You know, you and I have spent a bit of time since then, catching up and on calls and stuff. And I definitely resonated, you know, highly with the stuff that you do. Because you go on this spiritual journey, or what is called a spiritual journey, you know, in the world of personal development. Yeah. And you come across gurus and experts and philosophies and perspectives. And the wild thing to me is that after all of that, you know, that sort of leans itself towards even a little bit of religious ideology and looking for some kind of messiah in the sky. Yep. The weird thing was that the place that resonated the most was you, which is that there is no pie in the sky and that the physical body is basically your own physical body is the answer. And so I guess something you said before we hit record, which kind of ties this up in a nice little, you know, with a nice little bow on it that can kick us off, is that you said the historical meditators, you know, had it wrong, which is obviously to a lot of people that are in this world, that's a big statement because we're often attached to these messiahs and labels and leaders and religious figures. What did they have so wrong?
Oh, very good. So yeah, I think one of the tragedies, I will say they got so wrong, but one of the tragedies of them getting it so wrong is typically people are brainwashed into following a messiah. And even though all the messiahs haven't really made any difference to anybody, not significantly, not anything I'd give any value to, because I know I know what difference can be made when it's handed back to the person, when the power is handed back to the person to do it for themselves, which is the only way you can. What I found is that people, because of their brainwashing, because of their conditioning, to follow these and admire these messiahs and gurus and God men and teachers, and whether that's modern day ones or thousands of years old, is they're frightened to criticize the teacher. Yeah. They say, oh, it's my fault. And it's encouraged that there's something wrong with you. If you're having trouble with your meditation, you're having trouble with a particular pain that you can't resolve or an issue you can't resolve, this is all a problem with you, yeah? And it's not. It's a problem with the teacher. It's a problem with the teacher, yeah? And people don't like to hear that, oh, it's the Bhagwan's problem if none of his followers became enlightened, even though he's talking about enlightenment for 30 years or 20 years. Why didn't anybody else, why didn't thousands of people become enlightened? Well, here we go. The main obstacle is the idea of enlightenment and the idea that I am enlightened and you are not. Yeah, it puts a boundary between you and me straight away. I'm on a high and you're on a low. And this is probably the biggest ego trip that there is to think that I am somehow superior to another person in any way, apart from I might be superior mechanically. You know, I might be able to lift a heavier weight than you, and that's a superior mechanical ability, or cook a nicer piece of loaf of bread, you know, than you. This is a mechanical ability that we use our thought processes to do. But when it comes to being a human being, let's face it, what is a human being? It's not all the thinking that we've learnt and added. It's the living organism right in front of us, the living organism that you are, the living organism that I am. And when I look into that living organism, if I look at you as my idea of you, yeah, which is Matty and he's a podcaster and he's really good at it or he's really shit at it or whatever, or yeah, that idea of you, I can also develop an idea of you and me at that level that tells me that you're a lesser person or you're a higher person or you're this person or that person. Yeah. And so disrespect and dislike and preferences get involved. Whereas when we drop out of that, what I would call superficial nonsense of the ideas that we have about ourselves and one another, and go a little bit deeper into, well, what is this amazing creature in front of me? Yeah. And the amazing creature in front of me is the living organism that you are. And this organism is highly intelligent, super, super intelligent. And this organism is where real meditation happens. And this is what has been overlooked because of disassociation from the spiritualized teachings. It's overlooked the body entirely. But what tends to happen is people, I'll quickly round that up. What do we have as a living body, and how do we know we exist, and how do we know we're alive? Is simply because we're full of live sensations, yeah? And if those sensations for some reason are cut off in our hand, then we got no way of knowing that hand exists other than, you know, mentally we can look at it, oh, there's my hand. But I'm talking about the knowing that is the knowing of the body, yeah, which is I can feel my existence in this hand as this hand, so long as it's full of the sensations that it's supposed to be full of, yeah? And those sensations are the presence that are the presence of those sensations are the indication and the knowing of my existence, and no more and no less than that. That's it. That's all I've got. That's what I've got, yeah? But what happens with spiritualization of this is they tend to turn sensation into a concept, and they call it consciousness, awareness, and it becomes a little bit ethereal and disassociated from the fundamental sensation of ourselves as a living organism. So this is a primary skip from just what I am into the idea of what that might be if I mentalize it or spiritualize it, yeah, through the way I think about it. So, oh, that's awareness, really. That's what we call it, and that can create a type of a disassociation from the sensation that is living and felt as ourselves in the body into what we're calling awareness or consciousness. Yeah, and this is a typical trap in meditators all over the world, is the trap is they start to experience something that is mental, but they don't realize it's mental. It's outside of it can't even feel as though it's outside of or more than the body, yeah? But it's not really, because we don't actually experience anything
outside of our skin, really. Yeah, we experience it all in here. It's just that it seems to be out there. Like when I, if I hear something, if I hear you speaking in the room or I hear something in the room and my senses pick that up and I'm really focused on what I'm hearing 10 feet away, there's a feeling as though I'm feeling up that 10 feet. You know, if you're really listening, you start to feel, oh, yeah, I'm really tuning in to what's over there, yeah, through my sensing. But where am I actually hearing that? I'm hearing that in this little hole here in the side of my head. And that's it. And that's the fact. But we can emotionalize these experiences or dramatize these experiences and mentally, if you like, mentally think on them, contemplate them or tune into them. And then we think we're starting to experience the space outside of ourselves. In that sense, I'm not saying whether we do or not about that. What I'm trying to simply point out here is then we create this, oh, there's an awareness that's bigger and more than us. And people love that because they don't want to die. They want to live forever. And there's your answer. You're not this body. You're this awareness. But that's a big problem. So that's your question to what, that's what I really feel is missing in thousands of years of meditation is that they've completely overlooked the simple, most obvious thing and their own immediate presence because you don't have to think about that. You know that in a different way. And if you have to think about that, well, you're probably just making it up.
Well, I think what comes to mind as you unravel that concept is it's the romanticization of everything we could be beyond the physical body. And so people would maybe feel very disheartened to find out, oh, so it's just my physical body? Because these concepts and ideas and ideologies and perceived hierarchies and places that we should transcend and go to a better place, you know, that if you're left with, oh, so the same body I've always had is the answer and the solution and the problem and every road trip or journey that I ever go on, I arrive back at the same place.
Yeah.
That's not very exciting.
Not, is it?
Yeah, it's just like, oh.
It's awful. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's very important to unpack. A little bit anyway. We'll unpack it as we go.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
As you said, why isn't it exciting? Okay, because fundamentally we have some pain in our life and therefore where is that pain held? It's held in our body. Because the body remembers everything is a pretty common understanding nowadays. Yep.
Yeah. The body keeps score. That book really popularized that idea.
Didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And how does it keep the score? Is as tensions and pain and sensations throughout the body. So all those sensations are packed with the information that make up those sensations. So in the sense, held as tensions in the body to keep it really simple. Yeah. And I'm keeping it simple because actually, it is, in that sense, quite simple. When I feel hurt, it's a particular type of sensation, whether I'm feeling hurt and I call it emotional or I call it physical, how do I feel the hurt? Whether I call it emotional or whether I call it physical, I feel the hurt in my body.
As a physical sensation.
Yeah, I feel the physical sensation. It always comes back to that. If I don't feel a physical sensation of distress when you're telling me I'm not worth anything, then if I don't feel a physical sensation of distress in that, I'm not going to have any concern about you saying to me that I'm not worth anything. It won't mean anything to me if it doesn't activate a sensation of distress or feeling inside of me. Yeah, so it always comes back to that. And that's also where you heal it. But yeah, you can't heal it outside of that, is what I'm suggesting. But okay, so pain, we want to get away from pain. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm saying is taking that escape away. But why do we want to get away from pain is because, well, with many, many reasons, but the fundamental reason is we don't understand that pain is not our enemy and we don't know how to deal with it. We don't understand the significance of pain or distress in our day-to-day life and in our life in general. Well, not sufficiently, Yeah. It's something that I really have understood. I've been studying personally through experimentation and then working with tens of thousands of people throughout my, you know, whole adult life, ever since I started being a monk, actually, to understand pain. And pain is very misunderstood. And what actually happens with it is people just react to it mentally and try and get rid of it, rather than go deeper than their thinking and feel it. So people don't want to do that until they understand they can. And when they find out they can and how to do it, which is what happens through this approach that I'm offering, they're relieved. They're actually relieved to actually get in touch with the pain and the distress inside of them, because that starts to, being in touch with your pain or your hurt makes your hurt or that hurt part of you feel again a part of you. It makes the hurt part of you feel supported. Yeah. But when you try and get away from that part of you that's hurt, that part of you, which is still alive and a part of an alive being, being you, it's like you disassociate from that part. You stop feeling that part, and that part is feeling attacked, rejected, neglected, and it can't heal in that state. And that part is still you. But we have this amazing thing called thinking that we use to separate from that. So the best product on the market is, or one of the best, is I can show you a way to not have any pain. And even better, I can show you a way to live forever. Yeah. And I can give you reincarnation. So religion and spirituality make promises about things that they don't know because they simply can't be known. And I'm not saying that as a pragmatist or a scientist or a materialist. Yeah, I'll explain that much more deeply. Yeah, it's not something that can be known. But not to worry about that. Why do we want to know that? Why do we want to ask those questions? Is because, I'll give a quick example. I was speaking to this lovely lady the other day who's a spiritualist, and she's talking about she's dying of cancer. She had all cancer up and down her neck. And she's saying, but I'm not frightened because I know that I'm going to, you know, reincarnate. My body is just a vessel. I said, well, that's fine, but why do you think you have that belief and that idea? And what does that do for you by having that? And this was not an ordinary person. This is a person who's at a serious point in her life, yeah. And so she's taking me seriously. And she came back with, it sort of changed. And I thought, oh my God. Just, she said, she worked it out. She said, are you saying to me that I'm having that belief to escape the pain of my fear of death? I said, exactly. And as long as you're escaping the pain of that fear of death, you're not processing that fear. You're not healing that fear. Yeah. So these beliefs give us an indication that we don't have to have these sufferings. But the danger of them is that they also prevent us from ever being able to heal what we suffer. Because we don't, if someone dies and I don't feel the grief, I don't heal the grief. Yeah. If I feel the grief and I understand how to heal the grief, I feel the grief, I heal it, and I move on. I think we talked about this before, last time actually. But if I pretend that I know that person hasn't died, that they're going to reincarnate, then I've put the idea of them dying completely out of the way. And I've gone into the projection that they're not going to die. And what does that do? It causes me to disassociate from the only important thing to me, which is healing my grief. And if I don't heal that grief, it stays inside of my body and it does more harm. And it remains as a disturbance inside of me, which I no longer fully understand because I've now decided it's not real and I've denied it and I've suppressed it and I've overridden it. So my point is, these belief systems that offer us all these lovely ideas, if you take them away and say, no, there is nothing outside of the body, certainly the person who hears that has gone, shit, that doesn't sound very good. I don't want that. But what I'm trying to say to you guys, everybody out there listening, is actually when you understand what I'm saying, you're going to discover you really do want that. Not only do you want that, but you absolutely need it to honestly recover from any hurt that happens in life, not dishonestly imagine to yourself that hurt is not relevant because the person didn't die anyway. For example. So these belief systems not only distract us from our potential to heal and recover from anything in life, but they also harm us by giving us an alternative delusion that prevents us from ever being able to heal that again. And that's what's so cool about that conversation with that spiritual lady. When she got it, she wasn't upset. She was relieved. She was absolutely relieved because now she could feel the suppression and the pressure she was putting on herself by hanging on to that belief that I'm going to live after I die. Whether she's going to live after she dies or not is not the relevant point. And she understood that. The relevant point is if you use that to avoid your fear of that, you're never going to be whole and resolve that fear, and you're going to cause yourself other problems. And so the main problem was she felt the pressure and the distress of her distress of the genuine how she actually was, that she was telling herself she wasn't. So it doesn't matter why you are the way you are, whether you're delusional or not. What matters if you've got to feel the way you are, you've got to be honest about yourself and honor that, yeah, and for yourself. And feeling that is going to bring about, or admitting that, owning up to that, is not more harm. It's a relief. It gives you a relief, actually, because you start to give attention to the pain and the hurt inside of your body. And I'll chuck one last thing there. To me, all spirituality and all religion is just a hopeful attempt at escaping reality, driven by a reaction to life because people don't know how to heal their pain.
Yeah, I've got a question about that pain. So,
great.
And thinking as the biologist that I am, which is maybe perfectly in alignment with this concept of being in the body, right? Is that, you know, my degree and my qualification is about physical life. But the biological organism of all life, all animals, all plants, humans, when we experience physical pain, we have a reaction, right? And so my question is, with an innate evolutionary mechanism that withdraws us away from pain to protect the survival of the organism, is it a learned concept that we shouldn't be enduring that pain as we experience it, so that we process it on the spot? Because my understanding of that mechanism is that in the moment, it protects us from death of the organism. And so in regards to that idea of us having to then go on, dig up the pain again, feel it again so that we can move through it, it seems like that intellectualization is a compensatory mechanism to prevent death in the imminent moment that pain is at its worst.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, very much so. Just when you say intellectual idea, the I, is that which part are you calling an intellectual idea? That,
well, I'm wondering, is that an instinct or is it an intellectually learned way to deal with that pain?
Oh, so that's a question. Good. Okay, I think it's completely correct that I think there's different phases of pain. And the first phase is when you get hurt or when you're in danger. And the body, the living organism, biological creature, very nice word, you know, it's a very nice word to me because it shows this amazing creature that we are, protects itself from, you know, has to survive. So survival is a fundamental driving force in our remaining alive, you know. So the first thing that happens is I get hurt. And what will happen when I get hurt? That hurt is something I'll do everything I can to get away from. And that's what we're supposed to do. Yeah. So that pain and that hurt is to get away from that. I'll put a hand on a hot fire. I know, oh, that hurts me. If you're a leper, you don't, and you end up without a hand. Yeah. No, really, that's a big problem with leprosy. Yeah. They can't feel anything. So they just die. They just destroy themselves. So we need that pain. If we don't have that pain, we will die. We will destroy ourselves piece by piece. It's impossible to live without pain, without being absolutely destructive. So that pain is protecting the organism without that pain, we simply cannot operate in our world. Not effectively. Yeah. We would just be a mess. And that, so it's very important to understand this pain is not our enemy. It's protecting us. Yeah. It's guiding us. Yeah. So the first stage of pain is, okay, I get hurt and I'll pull away from it. Or there's a person in my life that treats me really badly and it hurts me. So I want to get away from them. Yeah. And I want to get away from them. So that's the first stage of pain is when I'm hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately after the first stage of pain, you are now hurt and damaged and you've got away from the situation. Or in some cases, you're still in the situation. But let's say one example is you get away from the situation. You've run away from the bear, or you've taken your hand off the fire, or you've left the man who abuses you, and so on. So you've got away from the situation. But that's not the end of the pain, right? Because now the pain you're feeling is a different type of pain. The first pain was a warning and an alert to get the hell away from that. That's survival. The next pain is not your enemy. It's not saying, get away from me. The next pain is healing pain. It's the pain that you have to heal. It's the pain that you have to feel in order to know your condition during the process of your whole healing. And that, and the degree of your pain changes as you become more well. And that pain prevents you from doing more harm by overusing that area as it's healing. Yeah. Whereas the leper won't heal very well because they keep damaging the same thing over and over again because there's no pain there to guide them through its own healing process, the body's own healing process. So this pain is an automatic intelligence. Yeah. Mm. So the second phase of pain is you don't get away from that pain. That pain is there to keep you careful and taking good care of yourself. And it's also the pain in the body brings the response of the body, the whole organism, its attention is drawn to give a lot of energy and a lot of sustenance, whatever is needed for that part of your body to heal. The supply chain is turned on by that pain and that distress, yeah? So this is another part of our amazing intelligence of the body, yeah? And it starts to heal. And then I say the third phase of pain is to get past, even though once you've healed, you may have some psychological association with that part of your body that makes you shy away from touching it or using it, yeah, even though it's healed. But until you then re-engage in your life and start using that part of your body again and take it through the process of you getting over your fear of that part of your body being hurt again, you haven't quite finished yet. So the third phase of pain is more complicated but very important, because that if you don't go through that third phase of the healing pain, so you stay with, you know, oh, I'm a bit agitated about my arm, you know, because I hurt it really, really badly and I'd never want to hurt it again. So am I going to live for the rest of my life imagining that my arm is not healed yet? I am. If I don't, then gradually as my fears and my apprehensions change, I will use that part more and more vigorously until I'm using it as vigorously as ever before. Now I can say I fully healed from that experience and I'm back to where I was before. Yeah.
Mum, mother, grandmother, nan, nana, and women with no kids. Have I got your attention? So I want you to imagine something. Go with me here. Imagine a life where even when you wake up tired and the kids are driving you mad and work sucks and things are problematic, that you're still in control of your food and you still make healthy choices without giving up and binging on chocolate and wine and saying, I'll try again tomorrow. It might be hard to imagine, but having freedom with your food is absolutely possible. And it starts by getting three things right. One, having a supportive community, building a strong connection with fellow emotional eating warriors. Two, having the right information delivered in the right way. And three, having a guide that can shine a light on the right path and have your back along the way. And that's me. Those three things are exactly what we've got for you inside the Healthy Mums Collective Facebook group for people just like you wanting to end their emotional eating and feel good in their own skin again. And currently, it's free to join. The link is in the show notes below. If you've struggled with diets or felt powerless around food, you're not alone. But let me assure you, this is a community that understands your battles and is ready to empower you into action. So what can you expect on the inside? Well, we have posts and content that push you a little out of your comfort zone. We do Facebook Lives, have interactive Q&A session, and it's simply a safe space to face your food challenges and be honest without concern of being judged. If you decide to join us, I have a complimentary How to Turn Food into Self-Confidence ebook for you as well, completely free. The Healthy Mums Collective thrives on support, authenticity, and experience-based practices. It's a community, so the beautiful people in it is where the magic comes from. To join us and be a part of that magic, head to the show notes, click the link, breeze through a few quick questions, and you'll be in the Healthy Mums Collective before you know it. Again, the link is in the show notes below. I'll see you in the DMs or on the welcome post in just a few moments. Interestingly, people, and I'm sure you're very privy to these people, but people do tell themselves with their own language, and this is sort of something people that do NLP can pick up on or any form of coaching, but people say, you know, they repeat it out loud that they will suffer the pain again. They say, oh, I'm not someone that does that kind of stuff, or oh, I'm not very good at that, or no, I don't date because all men are evil. Or, you know, and they repeat these narratives in their life that suggest whatever the pain is, be it the bicep at the gym, be it the men are abusive because I had one partner that was awful.
Yeah.
They repeat this life narrative and they do continue to experience the pain of hurt or loss or whatever it is for the rest of their life because they keep telling their own biological organism, we will continue to suffer this.
And it's not only because, sorry, did you finish?
Yeah.
And it's not only because they're telling their organism that, but their organism is telling their thought process that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because how do we hold memory of being harmed? We hold it as a tension and a feeling, or perhaps a pain or fear or distress in the body. And, you know, if a person's got a trauma, whether they remember cognitively that trauma or not, that trauma has caused a feeling inside of them that wasn't there before they were hurt, and therefore actually changed the way they feel in themselves from that day on, yeah? Mm-hmm. And therefore changed the way they feel in similar situations from that day on. So it really changes a person's life when there's that type of pain. It's unresolved, but it's still in the body, yeah? It's still sitting there in the body. And you can't actually resolve that from the outside in. You can't actually resolve that through coaching or through thinking about it, okay? And that's where this approach to healing or meditation, the natural approach to meditation, which to me is the meditation the body does naturally, is if the body's still in distress and still in pain, then it's only doing that to try and recover, because that feeling of that distress, that sensation of that pain, whichever it happens to be, by you being with that when it's there, when it comes up, you are going through a mini healing process. So if you're being with that pain and it comes and it passes and it's, you know, periodically comes and goes, and you don't react to it, go, oh my God, there's that pain again, and tell yourself, oh, that's never going to heal, because you're misunderstanding. The pain is not saying you're not going to heal. The pain is saying, I'm in a healing process right now, yeah? And you mentally go, you have a reaction to that pain, forgetting, hang on, this is not the pain from originally being harmed. This has been there ever since I've been harmed, and anything that's been there since I've been harmed is actually a healing process. It's just getting interfered with by, you know, my reactions and my fears and so on. However, those reactions and those fears are how I've learned to associate with that part of my body, or with having a man in my life or a woman in my life because I was hurt last time. Now, but that's a conclusion. That's a mental block in a way. Yeah, that's like I've been changed, and not in a way that allows me to live as I could live before I was hurt. So we need to go deep into these. Yeah, I don't mean like you mentioned before, I've got to go and find my pain and dig it up and revisit it and blah, blah, blah. This is with regressions and hypnosis and all that sort of thing can be helpful, but generally it's the wrong approach, because you're going looking for your pain and trying to dig it up and get to the bottom of it and heal it, a bit like a psychologist or a psychiatrist or a therapist would want to, let's get in there and let's get rid of that pain. What's the problem with that is your attitude in the first place is, why are you hunting that pain? Because you want to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. So you're already in a reaction to it. So the therapist and the therapy itself is born of that reaction. So therapy is generally a reaction. As I was saying about religion, is a reaction. Spirituality is a reaction. So that reaction is a problem because that reaction is based in a bias about that pain or that distress or that fear that you have. Now, so rather than going looking for it, the only thing we need to do is when it's there of its own volition, when it's naturally there, yeah? So you meet a new boyfriend or you get a new girlfriend and you start to have those fears come up from the past boyfriend or girlfriend, then they are the moments when that pain is revisiting your conscious world, your known world, yeah? When that's there, what people want to do is, oh, I want to get away. I'm not doing this. I can't do it. I'm not doing this. And they run away from the situation and they run away from the pain. They try to remove them. And what I'm suggesting is, no, that's not the time to run away. You're not causing yourself that pain in that situation. You are trying to live your life as a normal human being, as a healthy human being, and you're discovering that parts of you are not fully healed. Yeah? This is not saying there's something wrong with you. You might not have had a relationship since last time, so you haven't had the opportunity to experience this pain that you forgot to resolve, or you didn't get around to resolving, so you didn't give it long enough, which is a big problem with pain. People expect it to go like that. It takes time, okay? So that pain that's inside of you is going to show itself naturally, okay, in the situations where you're challenged. And that comes up as your reaction to the situation, yeah? And so this is where understanding reactions is very, very important, that and how to deal with those. And you'll learn that from my app, actually. Yeah. So very important. So this pain that comes up is not something you've gone looking for and you shouldn't go looking for it. It's something that's coming up, as it should, as an opportunity for you to evolve in a situation that you've been damaged in before. You've got a new man, a new woman, your fear is there, then you have to take it gently, have to take it gradually, and be very careful not to reassociate your fear as a bias towards this new man or a bias towards this new woman or blanketing all women or blanketing all men, yeah? And understand all that blanketing, all that generalization is nothing more than what you've come up with out of some hurt inside of you that is uniquely caused by a particular event, a particular person, not by all men or all women, but by a particular man or a particular woman, and you just got to get over that. How do you get over that? You got to feel it. And that's where the natural meditation of the body helps you heal those types of things even before you get a new relationship, because they're held as tensions in the body and disturbances in the body. So when you sit still, you and just feel into your body the sensations that are happening there already, you're actually, any disturbance, any pain, anything of an unpleasant sensation that you get is what the body is then able to process and heal at that basic level, because you're just sitting there giving it a chance to do so. And out of that healing process, your thinking also begins to change. About, let's say we're talking about men and relationships, your thinking about relationships will actually change automatically simply because your fears and your apprehensions that are held as lived experiences in your body, as they dissipate, the thoughts that they drive and the fears that they drive in your thinking dissipate with them.
And I guess moving into that space of starting to feel those things, how do we combat that natural inclination to pull away? Because, you know, we enter these situations which re-trigger us or, you know, allow the pain to re-emerge to be healed. But we have this sort of instinctive, like, you know, pull away, you know, rejection of that experience because we don't want to feel the same pain again. So how do we safely move into the space of letting it come out, letting it be expressed without it, you know, without our recoil mechanism winning, if that makes sense?
Absolutely. I'd like to use an example from a lady in America yesterday that I was having, I gave a talk over there, over here, but over there. Yeah. And, oh, man, her life was really hard, you know, really not easy. And she was going, she'd been through hell. She found my meditation app back in February. And so she was just so grateful because she's looked at every spiritual thing and religious thing under the sun and doesn't work. So this is an example of how to approach that pain. And she said, am I doing it right? This is, she's been following the app and using the meditation for the past, I suppose, that 6 months or something. She said, because I just sat still. When I get really distressed, I'm really reacting to everybody around me and I'm frightened by it and overwhelmed. That was it. I'm overwhelmed by everything happening and the kids want me and the husband wants me and I'm stressed over this and shit's going out of control. Yeah? And I'm just absolutely overwhelmed. And the overwhelmment, the most interesting thing about the overwhelmment was a state that's already deep inside of her from trauma in her life. Yeah, so of course, that's something that's going to be very, very fragile whenever life around you today pushes you too hard and it pushes you into that pain, that you don't want to feel. But anyway, she was sitting with meditation and she said, am I doing this right? Because I sat with meditation and I get these terrible pains in my right shoulder and jerking down my right arm when I sit. And I thought, no, Matthew said in his app, you just got to just stay with it. It was really hard to stay with. And she said, and I said, well, how long has it been going on for? She said, I've been going for about 2 weeks. Okay. I was like, that's great. That's not very long for something that distressful and that significant to heal. Yeah. So she's sitting with that. But what she did say was, when I sat with that and I had all that pain and all that distress come out of my body, not mentally, not thinking about it, just what is going on here? All this distress trying to come out, all this terrible pain. Mm-hmm. She said, notice over the next 2 or 3 days that I was not reacting the same way in that situation as I had been. So this is just an example. I said, yeah, exactly, you're doing it absolutely right. So by using the meditation of the body, by being with the sensations in the body that you don't like, I'm not saying you have to do it for a long time or for a lot, but this is how you as an individual, how any of you girls and guys out there as an individual can apply this for yourself and begin sneaking up on your pain at a pace that you can cope with. Yeah. And that is sit there for a while, you know, use the meditations that are on my app. And I do say those because other meditations will offer you ways to escape your pain. That's not what I want you to be doing for your sake. Yeah. But I want you to be just sitting quietly in your body. And even without the app, if you can't find it or, you know, whatever, just be quiet particularly when you're very distressed. What I mean by quiet, be physically still. Don't worry about what your thinking is doing. And just sit there for a while until you start to notice sensations in your body showing themselves to you, yeah? And you'll find it'll start with a certain sensation here and a certain sensation there. You might feel something in your stomach. You might feel something in your head. Good. You're on the right track. You're starting to feel again. That's the trick. You're starting to feel yourself as a living body again instead of being completely disconnected from it in your thinking. And when you get some distress or some pain, this is not pain or distress because you're sitting still. This is not pain or distress because you've got your knees bent. Yeah. This is pain or distress that's been suppressed or disconnected from in the busyness of your day-to-day life. And whilst you're sitting still, you're giving it a chance to come back to life again and show itself inside of you. So that pain or distress you're feeling, it may feel quite strong and you'll be surprised how much pain you're lugging around inside of you when you actually sit still and just let it come back to life inside of you. Now, if you feel that just for a moment or for as long as you can without disciplining yourself, I don't want you to turn into a discipline. You're not failing and you're not achieving. You're just giving your body a chance to show you what condition you're in. And so when you do this, you'll feel the sensations and the discomforts. And when you get to a point where you've had enough, fine, Let it go. Get up and get on with your day. But go back and do it again the next day.
Yeah.
Just a little baby steps, one step at a time. And what this is doing is you're starting to recover from your fear of feeling discomfort and your fear of feeling pain. And this is how that lady, who I was using as an example, found that her mental reactions to the situation that was upsetting her dropped right down because the feelings that that situation was stirring up, she was getting in touch with those without knowing it's the same feelings. She was getting in touch with those in her meditation and discovering that she wasn't as frightened of those feelings as she thought she was. And so gradually, step by step, you start to lose your fear and apprehension by getting in there and doing the work of allowing yourself to heal itself. Does that make any sense?
Makes perfect sense. And I think the real sort of take-home message in there for people that are looking for tools and resources and support is, and I really resonate with this idea, and I feel that it's very true in my experience as well, is that other meditation apps, platforms, audio, most of them are trying to distract you and take you to a fairyland of beauty and amazingness. But you have to return to the wounded, traumatized body after the meditation is over. And so you've actually done nothing for the body, right? You've actually done nothing to work with that stuff. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I love going to some of those places. They're amazing. Absolutely. Holidays in my head.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
They're beautiful. And sometimes you leave feeling lighter and amazing.
Yeah, and it's
but
great.
Inevitably, there's been no work at the foundational level of the suffering that one or me, you know, have experienced in my life. And so I think that's the real thing for people to take home from that, which is that other things are a distraction and they're a nice mental holiday and that's wonderful.
For sure.
But to really do the work, the method that you use and the Undo app, and I've used it. I know a number of clients that get great benefit from your app as well.
Oh, good.
That really is sort of the most productive answer that I've seen in this space of emotional trauma healing. Yeah. You know, I'm not that old, but I've been doing it for about, you know, in this world of personal development, sort of 15 to 17 years-ish. And by far, this makes the most sense to me.
Wow. 17 years is not insignificant. You know, you would have delved in and seen a lot.
Yeah, well, I think so, but there's probably a lot more ahead of me.
For sure. But even that's where even that thing, you know, you talked about a bit earlier about the guru image of the separation between the guru and the follower, or the, you know, you want a teacher to tell you how to get blissful. And the other thing it does when you heal your own pain is it doesn't disconnect you as a superior being from other people. It has the opposite effect. It increases your empathy and the feeling of common ground with other people. This pain, which is a developmental opportunity, often has a really good effect on bringing you down off any imaginary pedestal that you were trying to live up to. And you realize, I don't have to live up to that shit. It's nonsense anyway. I was only trying to live up to it because I felt like I didn't feel worthy or I didn't feel good enough in myself. And when you go through one of these life-changing periods, which illness is and pain is and distress is and problems are, all these mini life-changing periods are actually an opportunity to resolve the mistakes that you've been taught to make in the way you think about yourself, which causes you a lot of harm and distress. So for me, it doesn't have that effect when you go through something that's very harmful or it feels very hard to go through. It has a leveling effect and it creates an empathy between you and other people, other beings, the gurus in that body. And something goes wrong with that body, he's going to feel it. And he's going to suffer as much as anybody else, yeah, unless he knows how to deal with that pain. And that's where you're going to discover the guy's a phony, you know, and he's just always tricked himself, yeah, or the girl's a phony. Whereas with this, it's got nothing to do with achieving a higher state or being something better. It's to do with feeling the pain that shows itself in you, but not thinking that you are somehow bad or wrong for having that illness or that pain or that mental problem. But the other alternative is to gently live with your pain as it is. And gently means stop criticizing it, stop attacking it, and be very aware of these ideas of society that say there's something wrong with you. You're not such a good person. Yeah, because you've got to see, you are like that because you as a living body grew up in a certain environment and things that happened to you hurt you and harmed you and damaged you throughout your whole life. And many of those things weren't resolved, but they are there because of what you've been through. And they are a sign of your body's intelligence to say, no, we haven't finished with this yet and we're going to finish with this and something's going to trigger it. So they're not a sign of something wrong with you. They're a sign of something right with you. If you grew up in my situation, you would be affected pretty much the same way. I'm not in a healthier state because I'm a superior being to you. I'm not even in a more intelligent state because I'm a more superior being to you. The only reason we bodies find ourselves in different states, but do you heal that pain? You heal that pain, which you have to. You can, because there's no alternative. How do we end up in the situation we're in? We don't know. There's a lot driving our organism.
I don't know why I spend my life trying to help people get well, you know, but the thing is, I'm still going with it. So what I'm trying to say is we understand this is outside of our power. This is just shit that happens.
Yeah.
It's outside of our power. So who's at fault? I'm doing what I do because this, my life has brought me to this point. Maddie's doing, you're doing what you do, and you have the character and the, you know, the type of personality that's, you know, very, very effective for what you do. You're very kind and very, you care a lot about people and you're intelligent right. enough to communicate with people. But this is a good thing out of these things that we don't and can't know, as in how the hell did I get into this condition?
Mm-hmm.
Go deep into the condition itself and you will eventually understand what's brought it about. But it's very important to have the right approach to yourself. I mean, stop blaming yourself and stop praising or blaming other people. It's nobody's fault that they are successful. No one's fault they're successful and no one's fault they're not. Yeah, it's just the way they are. But as a human being, we're the same. Yeah, whether I've got money in my pocket or not, it might be easier to have money in my pocket, but it doesn't make my relationship problems any easier. Yeah, because that's the leveler. Our pain and our problems bring us right back to being kind to ourselves and kind to one another. And that doesn't mean trying to fix it, trying to get rid of it, trying to change. If you heal that pain, the beauty of it is, if you heal something that's a problem for you, you won't have to keep dealing with that every day because it will be gone. Whereas if you apply a technique to override that problem and to convince yourself, to con yourself into being a happier person than deep down you truly are, you're going to have to use that technique every day of your life to reinforce that con.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a pretty long, sad commitment to get up and have to fake it every day. Yeah. And I guess, you know, we've mentioned the app and you've done over 300 in-person retreats over the last 35 years.
Over 200.
Soon to be 300. So for everybody listening that's sort of resonating and thinking, I want to do this work, I want to learn how to do it, like, where do we send people? Where can they find you online? Where can they find the app and the retreats?
Great. Online, quietretreats.co. That will take you to my site, all about the meditation retreats that I run, and also give you contact with me directly for personal one-on-one sessions. So if you happen to be in Western Australia, I can see you face-to-face, but if you're somewhere else in the world, I can work over the internet. And don't think I can. I can absolutely do that, and we can get very, very good results because I'm a highly sensitized person, particularly to people's deeper pains. And I'm able to attune to those more than usually the people can attune to those themselves. Not because I'm smart, but because when we get hurt, we learn to disattune or to disassociate, yeah,
mm-hmm.
from our own pain. So we lose touch with it. The other thing is the undoapp.com, just undoapp.com. And the final thing, I suppose, that's the website, isn't it? Yeah, okay, so the website, undoapp.com, will get you to my white paper on trauma. We'll get you to a whole lot of information. I've got stuff on YouTube. I've got stuff all over the place, and hopefully it gets more accessible. But retreats, I will also advertise there. I'll be doing retreats online as well as offline. So offline is I can come to the retreat center or the ground that I work from in face-to-face, and that's obviously, that is definitely more effective. But online retreats are also available for those who simply can't get to me, and they can be, we will be advertising those over time. On the underapp.com. No, on quietretreats.co. Sorry, we'll be advertising on, correction, all retreats activities, quietretreat.com. And I've got a book out there under underapp.com, which is probably helpful. And otherwise, the sessions that you can get to me, we can line it up with the internet. So yeah. I think that's enough to get people to me if they'd like to see.
Oh, for sure. But no, that's perfect.
Good. I'd love to see. It doesn't matter what the problem is, to be honest, whether it's serious, serious trauma or just you want to be able to think straight. or you just had a breakup with your boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever it happens to be, I'm capable of helping a lot with all of it. Yeah.
Fantastic. I'll put all of the links for the Undo app and Quiet Retreats in the caption below and also in the show notes. So anybody that is resonating with this and wants to jump into Matthew's world, highly suggest it, highly recommend it. It's been very useful for me and many of my clients. And so, scroll down, click the link, jump into Matthew's world. But for our final question, drum roll. What is one piece of health information that you wish more people knew about?
The reason you can't do the right things is because there's pain inside of you that you keep avoiding into the wrong things. Yeah. Don't be hard on yourself about that. It doesn't matter how many people tell you you need to exercise or you need to stop eating that. There's going to be a feeling in you that stops you from doing that. That's when you want to go to the gym, and you'll feel distressed about going to the gym, or you'd be at the gym and you'd be distressed about being at the gym, or you go for a run and distress will come up in the middle of your run, or you'll want to eat the right food or the right amount of food, but your distress is relieved by eating the wrong food or the wrong amount of food. So the distress that you feel in your body is the main reason you can't do what you really want to do. And this is one of the big things that most therapists ask me, they complain about, is I'm trying to help people. I tell people what to do. Why won't they do what they need to do for themselves? Because, what we know doesn't mean shit. It doesn't help us at all. We have to understand why we can't do the things we know we should do. We have to be able to deal with it from that level is what I find. And that means if you do need the knowledge of what to do, but then you need to be aware of the feelings and the hesitations and there's the pain and the distress inside of you that drives you to not do those good things or not do them consistently. And when you feel, I'm not going to the gym tonight, I can't be bothered, my advice to everybody is get back to the feeling inside of you that's saying that. Be with that for 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 20 seconds, at least just get in touch with that feeling. Feeling that way, take that feeling with you to the gym. Just go gently, gently. Be nice to yourself. Take that distress gently, gently. I'll just take that feeling with me to the gym. Or if you're running a business and you can't get your act together at work because you've got all these terrible feelings inside of you, that insecurities or whatever, and you've got things to do and you just can't bring yourself to do it, get in touch with that feeling of I can't do it. I can't do it. Be honest with yourself. I can't do it. How does that feel? I'm too frightened. I'm too distressed. Feel that. Allow yourself to be in the state you're in. Gently, gently, gently. Take that state into the next action that you need to do to get on with your day. And if you do that, the more you do that, the more that feeling will lose control over you, and the more you will integrate that feeling and heal it inside of you. And therefore, you'll be more able to do the things that are good for you. And the more you're able to do the things that are good for you, so you will start to feel better, which will counteract the feeling terrible. But you're still allowed to feel terrible.
Yeah.
But this is a gradual process, understanding that the main cause of all of our health and life issues is our unresolved pain that holds us back from doing what we need to do, and not knowing how to resolve that. And how we resolve that is to find those distresses, felt them, feel them in your body. So I would say what the main health point is, what I've just said, how I've got through my life, and life is tough for everybody, how I've got through the tough times and the good times in my life, how I've managed to keep going through incredible, difficulties at times, is my meditation. But what I mean by meditation is by taking time to feel how it feels to be me, even though I don't like how that feels, but just be with that for a while each day or as often as I can, and take, and don't try and get rid of that feeling, but take that feeling into my life. Not so once you're in touch with it, you won't be acting out of it. You won't be reacting out of it. If you're really feeling it, you might feel as though you're not as strong or not as enthusiastic. That's okay. Don't be as strong. Don't be as enthusiastic. But take that into your thing that you need to be doing, and that will help you recover from being held back by feelings that you're trying to ignore. So the normal thing is to ignore them and try and get over them. Don't ignore them. What I'm saying is the opposite. Just feel them. If you've got to do a lecture and you feel nervous, feel nervous, but feel it where it is in your body. Feel the stress that you have as a sensation in your body, not so much as a thought process and an emotionalization in your head. Yeah? Find it in your body as a pure sensation of disturbance. And once you've got that there, you know where it is now, hold it there. It's not going anywhere anyway. And come back to your day and get on with your day.
Amazing. I love that practical advice, and I love that we can listen to that and actually do something about it. So thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate it. And thanks for being here on the podcast. You know, it's been super insightful, and I think a lot of people will garner some great utility from this conversation. So thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Okay, thank you.
We'll catch you soon.
Catch you soon, Maddie. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoyed this episode or learnt anything at all, the gift of your 5-star rating would be incredibly helpful. And what's even more powerful is if you write a review. You can do it below each episode on Spotify, every time an episode comes out, and inside Apple Podcast. Simply find the main page of this show with all the episodes on it, scroll to the bottom, hit write a review, share your amazing feedback, and then hit send. It helps this show grow tremendously and allows me to successfully invite bigger and more famous guests each time we do the show. Thank you, thank you, thank you for helping us climb the charts, climb the algorithm, and help more people. Oh, and by the way, I have a short disclaimer as well. I just wanted to quickly remind you that the information provided on this podcast is for general informational purposes only. While we strive to bring you accurate and up-to-date content, it's important to note that a lot of this is mixed with opinions, stories, and ideas not supported by mainstream science or medicine. Any advice or suggestions should not be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult a healthcare provider before making any decisions about the health and wellness of you and your family. Remember too that what works for one person may not work for another. And just as we promote on the show, each person is responsible for their own health decisions. Thank you for tuning into the How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast. And now, the next episode. Here it is.